it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is the other one?
Rushing the passer is one thing, but you have to earn the right to rush the passer by playing well on early downs and knowing your assignment and executing and playing physical to get us to those third down situations where you saw him perform at the level he did yesterday. I would say I've been just as impressed with that piece as I have with the third down piece. And let's give credit to the other guys that he's playing alongside of, right? It all works together.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking on Joey Bosa, toast of the town. One of the things about this Bills team is each week, you know, we've got all of our players, Joe, that are the regulars, and each week it's new Bills player of the week. Week one, Matt Prater, folks. How about him? Mm-hmm. Week two, Joey Bosa. Mm-hmm. Week three, it'll be...
It's like unsung hero of the week. It's not really unsung. It's just not Allen.
New guy to celebrate of the week, yeah.
Because you could just pick Allen every single week if you really wanted. Maybe this Sunday wouldn't have been that game. But,
yeah,
Bosa this week. Zion Logue maybe would be the unsung hero.
Next week, it'll be, I'm going to pick a newcomer.
Dorian Williams.
Two touchdowns from Jackson Hawes.
Two touchdowns. What type of odds I get on a multi-touchdown Jackson Hawes game?
Is he the most efficient tight end in football? They've thrown him twice. He caught them both.
He did. Yep.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Good morning, everybody. Happy, it feels like it's football Friday. We're 2 days before a game. I know it's Tuesday. The game's on Thursday. But the game is afoot. You know, it's close. And then the weekend off to watch the rest of the league. And... You know, like looking around the AFC, mentioned the 2-0 teams.
Mm-hmm.
I heard BEN this morning talking about, oh, the Bills are going to go undefeated. How many times have we done that? They win two games.
Will they go undefeated?
They win two games. And they're like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if they're going to lose.
I mean, this year, isn't a lot of it that they don't really play that many tough teams?
It's not only that, it's that in the
how many good quarterbacks they play the rest
of the
season?
In the Josh Allen Bills era, they've lost a couple openers. And you don't really get to have that experience. You don't really go that way. And this year they won their opener, and it was against the most difficult test they'll probably face all year.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well flex your muscles on, you know, beat Miami and then beat the Saints and then beat New England here and then beat Atlanta.
Like, it's possible Baker Mayfield's the best quarterback they play the rest of the season.
Not Mahomes.
I mean, who's playing better the last couple of years? You want to say Mahomes?
I mean, Mayfield has the most touchdown passes in the last 2 years in the NFL.
Does. The two guys you would say over Mayfield are Mahomes and Hurts, and neither one of them really do anything. They win, but they don't do anything. Like, they run around a little bit. That's Mahomes again, by the way, with the Chiefs. He's just running.
He's running better than he has before, too.
I feel he has.
I don't know if
he has to.
Is he in better shape or something? I don't know. It looks like he's
running over dudes.
Yeah.
I saw trucking people. Yeah.
803-0550. One other thing you saw from last night, we'll get to a call here in one moment. They showed on the broadcast Tom Brady and this whole conflict of interest story that I feel like every time they tried to report it, it landed with some in the NFL world and others, myself included. I was like, whatever. Tough to convince me to care about this. But Brady, he called the Commanders game last week.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the Fox broadcasts. He gets behind the scenes access. He gets to watch practice. He gets to go to the coaching booth. You get to talk with the coaches, meet with the coaches. Last night they showed him in the booth at the Raider game on a headset, and he's just working with Chip Kelly. He's part of the Raiders staff during games. And what is he, able to get intel on every team along the way? Wait a minute. You're telling me Tom Brady might be doing something that's pushing the envelope, that's blurring the lines of what's okay and what's not?
Yep. He is technically, Seth Wickersham had the breakdown of what he is and isn't allowed to do. That's different from any other broadcaster. Brady is not permitted to be in another team's facility. He's not permitted to witness their practice. He's not permitted to attend broadcast production meetings, either in person or virtually. So
I thought they changed that for him.
That was in August that Wickersham outlined that. So I don't know if he still has other things he can do. Or whether he, like, you know, he might not be sitting in the production meeting, but does he still get all the notes from it? Wouldn't you think he probably does? Like, hey, you're not allowed to, here you go. Here's the notebook. We took notes for you. So I think he's getting some advantage from it. I don't know what it is exactly if he's not allowed to watch practice, but
right, how much is it helping the Raiders?
Why else is he in the booth?
Because he works for the Raiders and he's part of the team.
But he's the minority owner. He's not the quarterback coach.
He's Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady. Go to the owner's suite. Right? Does Chip Kelly want you in his ear? Maybe he does.
Yes, he probably does. Or if not, if Chip Kelly doesn't, the other owner wants Tom Brady in Chip Kelly's ear. It didn't go well. It didn't go well last night.
I definitely believe something shady's going on. Like, benefit of the doubt doesn't go to the guy who's been subject to every first round pick forfeiture in NFL history.
Right.
That's true, by the way.
Dolphins and
Patriots. Yeah, it's only two.
Eric in Lockport. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good game on Sunday, guys. How's it going, boys?
Excellent.
Hey, I just wanted to start by saying my brother-in-law is from South Beach. He's a huge Dolphins fan, saddest rivalry ever. And he always asks me, you know, what's wrong with the Dolphin offense? They can't score points the way they used to. And if you watch them, I mean, I actually feel bad for McDaniel. I mean, you watch them, and it's clear that you have to, like, rip half of a playbook out. I mean, 5 and 7 step drops are out, RPOs and rollouts are out, and it's all because the quarterback can't get hit or the defense would never believe he's...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to take off. They can't really run the ball because the line is bad. And by the way, they have no secondary. So it's basically a recipe for playing in a lot of shootout games with your backup quarterback. So they're killing them down there in Florida, but I would be hard to find the head coach that really succeeds with what he has. So I just kind of wanted to talk about the state of them coming up.
Yep.
And I assure brother-in-law that we're not going to beat him by 40 because we prefer, you know, putting in backups to running score. I will hang up.
Thanks, Eric. One thing about, like, think about the spot Miami is in. And Bills fans, you don't have to apologize for being in this spot for sure. You have to play Josh Allen twice a year, and you have to beat the team that's run by Josh Allen. If your rosters were equal, you should lose every game. That's right? Baseline. If your rosters were equal, this is any team in the NFL. If your rosters are equal and they have Josh Allen, you have someone that's not that good, you should lose every game. And what do? They lose nearly every game. And then you have a
15 of 17.
Yeah. And then you have it where their offensive line has been a mess. And their quarterback is a little bit, well, predictable, one-dimensional, whatever you want to say. So I'm coming at it from a talent gap. And then I'm probably coming at it from a coaching gap. And I got to do it twice a year. It's just it's almost like drought life with the Bills. Even if you are decent, you're going to get smacked, and it's going to look really bad. When the Bills in the drought would have a season where they finished 7-9, if they don't play Tom Brady twice a year and instead play league average quarterback, could they have gone 9-7 one of those years? Would they have just been more respectable? Would it have been the kind of thing where a free agent will sign with you because you're not some, you know, doormat for this god playing the sport? So Miami has disadvantages kind of baked in, and they're old. Their GM has not made smart decisions. They got old fast. They kind of don't know where they are. They're always in the middle of, well, maybe one more kick at the can. How about one more try here for Mike McDaniel? And we talked about it, what day? Was it yesterday with Sal? Where I said, convince me they won't tank. The owner got in trouble for telling a coach to tank. If they lose to the Bills and go to 0-3, and that they're going to fire their coach anyway, tell me why they wouldn't. The owner wouldn't just say, all right, "Let's go ahead and make sure this gets all the way there." They have games against good teams, and if they just lose to the good teams they play,
yep,
that's Ravens, Commanders, Falcons, Bills, Chargers.
Yep. The move.
Bucks, I mean, Bengals might have been good with Burrow there. The Patriots, again, like Miami could easily get to 12 losses. Easily.
Yeah. I mean, the move for them might not be firing the coach. It might be firing the general manager.
Yeah.
Because his job's done mostly, right? Like, the team is on the field, and there's, like, the little stuff along the way. But the majority of your work for the season has been accomplished. You've done your draft, you've done your free agency, you've made your trades, and here's your team. You fire that guy midseason, especially when he's been there for 10 years. He's the longest tenured GM in NFL history that doesn't have a playoff win. That's the guy you fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you don't fire McDaniel at the end of the season, too. I think you restart completely if you're them. But, right, like, you shouldn't be clinging to some hope that you're going to make. I saw a stat earlier that if you start 0-3 as of last year, one of 29 teams have made the playoffs after starting 0-3 since 1999. Like, it just doesn't happen that you come back from that. So at that point, you got to start thinking about the future.
803-0550. Have you had anyone write to you about the idea that if Joe Brady moves on and Mike McDaniel gets fired, the Bills should entertain the idea of Mike McDaniel?
I have had that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've had a few of those. Like, what would you think about this? What would you think about this? And I just do not think that's realistic.
Why?
I think both things are realistic individually. I do not think the idea of Mike McDaniel, like, as a candidate here is realistic. Whether it's Ronald Curry or Davis Webb or – where is Davis Webb? Is he the offensive coordinator somewhere right now?
No, he's the quarterback coach of Denver, I think.
Quarterback coach. Like, I think that there are candidates, and the Bills would kind of keep it in the Allen family. Josh Allen would want to be comfortable with whoever it is and not just kind of go somewhere he doesn't know. Right? That's Brady got in here and got that job. Dorsey got that job because he was here and moved up. And if it's Ronald Curry who gets elevated, or again, Davis Webb, who has been here before, friend, teammate, many think he's a future head coach. It'd be a very easy come be the offensive coordinator for Josh. I don't think Mike McDaniel's a realistic opportunity or option there.
Well, because you're thinking maybe more for someone that would be the quarterback coach first, kind of like Brady was, and that's probably above or below McDaniel.
What do you mean?
Like, he would get a coordinator job, right? Like, the Bills wouldn't bring him in as the quarterback coach.
Right.
Actually, he wasn't even a quarterback coach. He was a running back coach.
Saying what would McDaniel, if he gets fired, what's his next job?
Yeah, right, because if it's a positional coach, then I would think, all right, you do the same thing you did with Joe Brady when he got fired in Carolina. You put him on the staff so that in the future, if you need him and he's more familiar, that's when you do it. But I don't know that McDaniel's next job isn't an offensive coordinator position.
Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't think it's a fit.
I don't know if it's a fit or not. Like, I would defend another team doing it.
Sure. Like, he's going to be in the league. I mean, Chip Kelly went out disgracefully with the Eagles and is now, you know, has had a couple of jobs as well. I mean, you get fired and you just keep working in the league for the next, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And guys get more opportunities to kind of get it back. But I just wanted to bring that up because I have had people write that to me and I just think, I don't really see it.
I think Dable's way more likely.
Mm.
Comparing the two?
Oh, of the two?
Of the two. Dable's way more likely.
Of the two?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah, sure. Fine. Of the two. Yeah,
it's got to be, right?
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. If you want to jump on hold, get with us. If you're on hold, we'll get to your call on the other side here on WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.